Shalom, Havarim. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, best friend, and wonderful Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, dear, and shalom, saints of God. We are so glad you are tuned in. So please, bow your hearts with us in prayer.
Abba, Father, we dedicate this whole program tonight to your holy word as we rejoice and meditate on its precepts that heal us, cleanses us, and teaches us your divine truth. Thank you so much. Thank you for so many answered prayers. We and our listeners continue to lift up our infirmities to your throne, but even more importantly, the salvation of our loved ones. May they, too, be set apart for your soon coming kingdom. We pray that you, El Shaddai, are pleased with tonight's program, and the listeners, too, as we bring forth your holy word while eagerly awaiting for its fulfillment. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And as my husband just prayed, we are dedicating this program entirely to God's word because we know that pleases him more than anything. Tonight, we have a special program. We want to look at the pre-trib rapture, but from the Tanakh, which is the first and older testament, because there is a lot there about the day of the Lord, which begins in total spiritual darkness.
And boy, does it mean dark.
Now, we are pretty familiar with the New Testament scriptures, as in Luke 21, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Romans 1, Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 15.
Revelation 3.
That's right. And others like Revelation 4. That brings one to that deduction. So, since we here at Shofar Ministries feel it's our calling to comfort and stir you up to stay excited about our blessed hope, tonight's program, well, it should do that.
For sure. That's why we named it Shofar Ministries.
Right. Mm-hmm. To listen for that trumpet call. Now, unfortunately, there are other ministries that go by the same name. And I know one teaches that the bride will be here for the wrath of God, even though knowing Jesus paid the price and took our judgment for sins to the cross. And make no mistake, the judgment of the wrath of God is primarily for the sin of unbelief, you know, so that they get saved. And many will, especially the Jews, which is why God calls this horrendous time Jacob's trouble.
Yeah, you know, he didn't call it the bride's trouble.
I know, right? Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So make no mistake about it. Daniel's 70th week prophecy in chapter 9, which equals 490 years, was a prophecy meant for Daniel's people, Israel. Now, 483 weeks of years were fulfilled at the culmination of his first coming. Then, a gap of time,
which is approximately 2,000 years.
Right, and Hosea 6 compares it to being only 2 days to God. But it's to allow the Gentiles to come in and experience salvation. So when we are called up, out of the way, so to speak, then the clock goes back and begins ticking again to finish the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. And while we're enjoying our 7-year honeymoon.
Yeah, and you know, it has to be 7, for that's the number of completion.
That's right. But then God focuses back on the earthly Israel for their salvation, culminating in Yeshua's second coming to earth.
At Revelation 19.
Right, and in verse 7, we are now called his wife.
That's cool.
That's very cool. So, my heart breaks, though, when I hear Christians call my Jesus a wife beater. By even suggesting that he would allow such wrath to be upon his bride.
Perhaps they just don't get how awful it will be.
Well, obviously, you know, even the fallen angels who are still bound in the underground abyss of darkness, well, they're going to be let loose during that day. Yeah, really. Jude says so.
I'll read that in verse 6. The angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
These evil angels will be released from the bottomless pit. And 2 Peter 2 confirms that Jude calls it, I think it's Jude that calls it Tartarus, or is it Peter? I mean, it's Peter. Confirms and calls it Tartarus. And they're being reserved for the great day of his wrath.
Yeah, you know, and it's also confirmed in Revelation 9.
Right, along with some pretty mean locusts to sting and torment those without the seal of protection, which will be given, but only those of the 144,000, according to Revelation 7. So, tonight, we want to look at the many scriptures God gave us in his first testament concerning the day of the Lord that starts with darkness of pure evil, but ends with the light of Jesus.
Yeah, creation days that begin each sundown are a type of that.
Amen. So, be sure to have your Bibles and paper and pen and get ready to take some notes. And while they do that, honey, let's tell our listeners how they can easily connect with us.
Absolutely. Okay. If you have a question or a comment, there are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office, and please be sure to leave a very detailed message. 2-440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And prayerfully consider tucking in a gift of love, which you can also do on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which automatically adds your name to our mailing list for news updates and monthly teaching letters.
Thank you, dear. And I hope you will take advantage of the many teachings and past radio programs all archived on our webpage. It's a plethora of biblical knowledge to assist you in your growth to total sanctification.
Yeah, so says Hebrews 2:11.
That's right. Okay, let's begin. Let's start off with Isaiah 66:14, the end of 14 and 15.
Okay, the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies.
Oh, let me just stop and tell you that the word for indignation is zewam, and it's number 2194, and it's actually the strongest of the Hebrew words for indignation, which really means fury. So remember, this wrath is from the Lord.
Continue. For behold, the Lord will come with fire with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many.
Okay, so we've got the indignation to the enemies, not to us.
Right, we won't be there.
And Revelation 9 talks about chariots as well when describing those giant locusts. You know, maybe you could read their gross description in Revelation.
They are some nasty sounding things.
That's in verse 7 through 11.
The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wind was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. The power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose Hebrew name is Abaddon, but in Greek he was called Apollyon.
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 That's cute, that though. I know. But anyway, that 5 months is pretty interesting, because that's how long another judgment of torrential flooding prevailed on the earth. That was in Genesis 7:24. So I think we got another Old Testament scripture, again about the indignation, and that's in Isaiah 26. And this one is the best of all because it even is more specific with more details. So, honey, if you could pick it up in verse 19 where Isaiah is speaking on the resurrection, then I'll pick it up in verse 20.
Verse 19, your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
So clearly it's the resurrection, or the rapture if you are still alive at the time. And then we get into verse 20, and it says, come, my people, enter your chambers. And I want to mention that that word for chambers in Hebrew is hadar. And that is the wedding room, you know, that the groom prepares for her after they are betrothed. So let me read that again. Come, my people, enter your wedding room or your bridal chamber and shut your door behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while until the indignation is past. Now, that's pretty plain. That's Old Testament. And, of course, we know the indignation will be past at the end of 7 years. Then verse 21 says, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish. And that word for punish also means to judge. To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. What iniquity? Of unbelief. And it goes on to say, and the earth will also disclose or bring to light her bloodshed and will no more cover her slain.
Yeah, the tribulation will be done. That's very plain.
Uh-huh. And here's a pretty simple one in Nahum 1 verse 2.
God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies.
Did you hear that, saints? We are not his enemy. And also continue down and read verse 6 because it's good.
Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him.
By who?
By God.
That's right. And in Isaiah 57:1, it says, the righteous perishes. And by the way, that word for perish is abad, number 6. And the lexicon says it can also mean vanish. So that's pretty good. It says, the righteous vanish, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Did you hear that? Everyone's going to be in la-la land, and they won't even realize that we were taken away because of the evil that's there. Pretty cool. And we have another one in Micah 7, verse 2, and it's similar.
The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net.
When has there ever been no one upright on the earth?
Never. Even Noah stayed on earth in an ark.
So, there is no one upright because we, the bride of Christ, are leaving the earth.
For sure. Amen.
Like, hello out there. And again, still in the Old Testament, we use this one a lot for those who think we will be here for the wrath of God. And that's, of course, our favorite, Amos 5:20.
Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?
This so confirms we are not here for any part of the tribulation.
Amen.
Or do they who think so think they are not light? Honey, what does it say in Ephesians 5:8?
For you were once in dark, no, excuse me, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Exactly. We are the light that Amos says will no longer be around in the darkest part of the day of the Lord, which is especially dark at the moment the catching away occurs.
Well, that's because we are the light that's leading.
Again, we can't say it enough. And by the way, be sure to go to our archived programs on the web and the one titled 2 Thessalonians 2, where we exegese it in even more detail.
But we still have more from the Old Testament.
We surely do. Because also, I want to refute something. First, how often have you heard that the rapture is made up of doctrine from the 19th century, from a vision to Margaret MacDonald that's told to her pastor, John Darby? Well, yeah, she did have a vision, because God decided it was time to revive the truth.
Yeah, because, you know, the Dark Ages squelched so much of the Bible.
Right. It was Catholic-dominated, where mm-hmm. Bibles were not allowed anymore.
But thank God for the Reformation.
Right, thank God. But even with the Reformation, they didn't get into prophecy.
No, you know, and they still don't in the mainline churches today.
I know. It was finally revived during the age of the Spirit-filled church at Philadelphia.
In the 1800s, I believe.
I think that's right. So, we are glad to be proving otherwise tonight from way back documented in the Old Testament. And this next verse is another really good one, and that is Psalm 12, verse 1.
Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases.
Yeah.
For the faithful disappear. And that's 64:61, Pekak. From among the sons of men.
Yes, the faithful disappear. And why? Well, check out verse 8.
The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men.
That's right. The righteous are highly
unrighteous.
Excuse me. Thanks. The unrighteous, the bad ones, are highly exalting vileness today. I never comprehended it would be as bad as it is. Sodomy, cannibalism, human sacrificing, bestiality, amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's extremely satanic.
Hello, I'd say. But yeah, Psalm 12:1, the faithful disappear. I don't know what else you want to say. I don't know how you can make it any plainer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on to another Old Testament scripture in Zephaniah 2:3. Did you ever think there was that many?
Nope. Well, I did.
Yeah.
Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Now, he wouldn't make that condition if it couldn't be a true promise. The righteous will be hidden. And by the way, it could probably also apply to the tribulation saints, both Jews and Gentiles, who he protects in the last half of the tribulation. You know, there's two scripture chapters confirm that as well in the New Testament, Matthew 24 and Revelation 12. Let me just read Matthew 24, verse 15. It says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, and whoever reads, let him understand. Okay, so first of all, they were quite familiar with that, because just a few hundred years before, Antiochus Epiphanes did just that as an antitype. And I believe when the now righteous Jews read Matthew 24, they will already be saved, since the war of Gog and Magog that takes place within the first 2 years of the seven-year tribulation. Check out Ezekiel 38, verse 23. Going on in verse 16 of Matthew 24. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Now, I have to tell you that when I was there, they have flat roofs. And when I was there, I saw clotheslines and swing sets for, they don't have a lot of land inside Jerusalem unless it's on a farm, on a kibbutz. Hard to say those words. So verse 18 says, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Well, confirms that they are mostly Jews that flee to those mountains for protection. Verse 21 says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not since been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Got something in my throat. So this verse is not saying the tribulation will be less than 7 years. It's saying that the sun will be so hot, there will be more night than day. He's going to shorten the daylight hours. Now, how do we know that? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. So let's read it in Amos 8, 9, as he's describing the tribulation. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. Okay? Also in Revelation 8, 12, it says, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So those of you that have heard a false teacher say that, well, the tribulation is not going to last that long, because, and then they use that verse out of context. Remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. It's the sun that's going to be not shining because it's just too hot and it would hurt people, too many people. And this too has a double application and really fits the saved Jews who are protected in the last half of the tribulation as confirmed in Revelation 12, and that's in Psalm 27:5. It says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Will he bring them back to the same place, perhaps, where they were before at Mount Sinai? I say yes. And this time, they trust him as they wait for their next Joshua, which means salvation. This time, it'll actually be Yeshua himself, who will accompany them into the land of the new Canaan, Israel, where their enemy has already been defeated at the end of the tribulation. Yes, unfortunately, ugliness is coming first. Verse 13:6 says, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Again, from who? This shows that it's the Lord's wrath that is coming, not Satan's wrath, as wildly some are claiming. But you can escape with just a prayer. Just make him Lord over your life. Let me leave you with the blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for our president. And let's pray for each other. And if you love Jerusalem, you're going to prosper. See you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.